Grace and peace are yours in abundance in your knowledge of God and your Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. God's word comes to us this evening from the fifth petition of the Lord's Prayer, where Jesus teaches us and all Christians to pray and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. This is God's word. Friends in Christ, one day an employee at a tool and die company in Indiana spent $30 for a few pieces of used furniture and an old painting of some flowers and decided to strategically hang the picture to cover up a hole in the wall that was bothering him. Some years later, he was playing a board game called Masterpiece, in which players attempt to outbid one another as if they were bidding for artwork at an auction. And much to his surprise, one of the cards in the game featured a painting of flowers that looked a lot like the one on his wall. He found out that his painting was similar in style to the work of an artist named Martin Johnson Heed, an American still life artist best known for landscapes and flower arrangements. He got in touch with the Kennedy Galleries of Manhattan, which handles many of Heed's works, asked him to take a look at this painting, and they verified that this piece of artwork covering the hole in his wall was a previously unknown Heed painting, since named Magnolias on Gold Velvet Cloth. And in 1999, the Museum of Fine Arts in Houston purchased the painting for $1.2 million. Not a bad investment, huh? Magnolias on Gold Velvet Cloth was treasure hiding in plain sight. During this Lenten season, we are going to be spending some time with another treasure hidden in plain sight. This one is called the Lord's Prayer. Now, most of us are able to rattle off the Lord's Prayer without even thinking about it, right? And that's the problem. So, we are going to attempt to move the Lord's Prayer from our mouths, where we speak these words, back into our hearts, where we believe it, and back into our minds, where we understand what a great treasure you and I have been given. On this Ash Wednesday, then, we're going to jump right into the beating heart of the Lord's Prayer, where Jesus teaches us to pray, "Forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us." We sit here tonight with the sign of death on our foreheads, a visible reminder of the paycheck that you and I get for sin. Those ashes are preaching tonight, and those ashes are saying, "You're another day closer to your grave." That's pretty dark stuff. Well, it gets darker. Those ashes preach, "That grave there, it's your fault." And I know it's true. I don't have to be convinced that I'm full of sin. It's obvious to myself. How about you? Lent takes us to this dark place. But Lent also says that there is someone who came for the express purpose of entering that darkness. In fact, this someone, the Son of God, entered a darkness that was deeper than physical death. He entered the pitch blackness of a broken relationship with God the Father. And why did he do it? He did it to switch places with you. That grave there, it's my fault, true enough. But Jesus has forgiven my fault. Jesus has forgiven your fault. Jesus came and entered the deepest darkness to drag us out into the light. And he takes your guilt and in exchange gives you his innocence. And that was all worked out there at the cross. So in this prayer of his, Jesus teaches you and me to ask for this forgiveness, for this grace. Why? Because there is no other basis upon which we can approach God. Here's what I mean. There is no such thing as saying, of course I can approach God. I'll show him my resume, show him how good I've been, show him how I've behaved. He'll have to accept me. No such thing. Scripture says, by deeds of the law shall no man be justified, meaning you cannot create your own not guilty verdict through good behavior. You can only plead for mercy. And forgive us our trespasses is that plea. And forgiven you are. Because Jesus was convicted instead of you. Jesus was sentenced instead of you. And he took the fall instead of you. And then the greatest miracle of all. He returned to life after being executed like a criminal. He rose to wipe away every sign of death. That grave there, my fault. But not only did Jesus forgive me of my fault, one day Jesus will hold that grave open as I leave it behind, risen, just as he is risen. Forgive us our trespasses indeed, so that that can be our future. But in the present, there is a challenge. Jesus' prayer says, forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Our Lord Jesus does something very dangerous here. He assumes two things. First thing he assumes is that we need this forgiveness, and he assumes having received this forgiveness, we will be forgiving. Does he assume too much? As you wrestle with that, I'd like to share a story with you from a book called Tramp for the Lord, written by Corrie ten Boom. And in that book, Corrie tells that how after World War II, she met a guard who had been her captor in a concentration camp where her sister had died. This guard came up to her, former guard, came up to her after she had done a presentation at a church. And he introduced himself and he told her how he had been a guard at Ravensbrück. And then he reached out his hand to her and asked for her forgiveness. Corrie remembers how she hesitated, remembering how cruel he had been to her and her sister and so many others. And then she recalled Jesus' radical words about forgiveness. And so she said a silent prayer, Jesus, help me. I can lift my hand. I can do that much, but you have to supply the feeling. And suddenly, she said, she could feel God's power coursing through her hand and out to the former guard, and she cried out, I forgive you, brother, with all her heart. And she wrote that she had never known God's love so powerfully as she did at that moment. Now, there's really only two reactions to that story. Either you think, yes, that's exactly the type of miraculous love and forgiveness that has saved me. Or you think to yourself, I could never do that. If you're thinking, I could never do something like that, I don't know what to tell you, except Jesus assumes that if you have been forgiven by him, then you will be forgiving like him. And as the example of Corrie ten Boom demonstrates, it's not really about you pulling yourself up by your own bootstraps and mustering the strength to forgive somebody. It's about asking Jesus to create that in you. It's about asking Jesus to flood you with his forgiveness to the degree that at a certain point it just pours out of you naturally in your connection with him. Or think of it this way. Forgiving those who trespass against us, so hard for us to do, is only going to happen if you let Jesus melt your heart. Now let me explain what I mean by that. Imagine Jesus at his cross. He's suffering. He's dying there. Imagine that in your mind like a bonfire. The closer you get to that cross, the warmer you become. The longer you look at that incredible sacrifice, the hotter it gets until finally your heart is melted and it cracks open and that mercy that's pouring out on the cross is getting into those cracks and it's taking over. And then finally, the forgiveness Jesus pours into you becomes a fuel in your heart for a new way of thinking and acting. Don't you want that? You can have it. You can fill up on that every time you pray with heart and mind engaged. Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. May the Holy Spirit of God work it in us. Amen. Now may the God of peace himself grant you peace at all times. And in all ways, the Lord be with you all. Amen.